Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to In the Studio with Linus on the Essence of Success Radio Network. That phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. The chat room is open. Your moderator is Miss Nina and also the manager of the Essence of Success Radio Network. So please call and join in. We're going to have a really good show tonight. Monday night's show, L&B Empowerment, they were discussing empowering the youth. What could we do to give them skills and tools, as well as the parents or grandparents or whoever that have to raise these children? And the show was so tremendous and amazing that I decided to continue it on my show and just add that we also have got to look at who are our leaders today that these children can look up for. Because for me, my generation, when I came through, I had Martin Luther King. And so I think later they probably had Jesse Jackson, but, you know, we'll be discussing that later too. So anyway, you know, I start the show with entertainment news, and then I also do the sports, and then we're going to go on the hot topic. So first off, though, I want to do the happy birthday. So happy birthday to my niece, Letitia. Happy birthday to my cousin, Clyde Rattler, Jr. in California. Happy birthday to Mr. Joe Harding, real good friend of the family. And happy birthday to my baby girl, Chauvinet Crescenda Williams. Her birthday is Saturday, and she'll be turning 38. God, think how old I am. I'm still young, okay? And she's 38, I'm 50. Anyway, I just want to say happy birthday to all you Virgos. And also, Monday was the new moon on the 25th, so I hope everybody is enjoying and having a very good week in the life. So without further ado, let's go to entertainment news and see what's happening. Get this going.
Uh-oh.
Entertainment news fresh off the press. Okay, first story up. Let's see, I got to go way up. Okay, comedian Kevin Hart has just got engaged, but instead of congratulations, he got hate. My nephew announced his engagement to a longtime girlfriend, Aniko Parrish. The problem is it was the same night his ex-wife, Tori Hart, was in the season premiere of the VH1 show Atlanta Exes. Kevin took some heat on social media for it, but quickly responded back. The box office champ let it be known he picked Aniko's birthday to propose, and it had nothing to do with a swipe at the ex. Well, you know, Kevin, whatever the hell, she can sleep at night. That's all that matters, huh? Okay, could Mariah Carey, 44, bossy Nick Cannon, 33? You know what, y'all? I didn't know there were 11 years difference, but hey, May and September, September and May work. Around cost her the $500 million fortune she earned all her years in music. Well, from what I've heard, I'm not going to go through the whole article, but from what I hear now, they're trying to reconcile and work out their differences. So I'm just going to say Mariah and Nick, counseling. Y'all got two beautiful children. Come on. You're young parents. You can work through this. In a recent interview, Usher talked about his ex-wife, Tamika Raymond. Tamika, like Kevin Hart's ex-wife, is also starring on the VH1 reality show Atlanta Exes. Tamika is the mother of Usher's son. The turbulent marriage lasted 2 years, 2007 to 2009, before ending with the singer getting primary custody of the kids. He's got two boys. Usher says even though he was warned by his mama, yes, he was, Janetta told him, honey, Janetta Patton, is so y'all know, about marrying Tamika, the Good Kisser singer says the marriage was the best mistake he ever made because he realized he didn't know as much as he thought he did. Well, I don't believe they heard you. Usher also says the godfather of soul, James Brown, gave him the best career advice he ever had before Brown died. He mentioned what that was. Well, does Whoopi Goldberg want out of The View? Goldberg is the only one left standing, y'all, after Barbara Walters retired from the daytime talker. Co-hosts Jenny McCarthy and Sherry Shepherd were forced out. Close friends of Goldberg says she has grown tired of the show and wants to do other projects. The View used to be a must-see TV, but over the past few years, viewers have grown tired of the revolving door of hosts after a tumultuous tenure as moderator in the 2006-2007 season. Comedian Rosie O'Donnell is rejoining the show. Other major announcements about the show are going to be made any day now. How long will Goldberg stay? Will she break her contract and leave? Will she get along with their new co-host? I don't know, y'all. I never thought that Rosie and Whoopi got along all that well. I may be wrong, but I think they were like oil and vinegar. Well, R. Kelly is being sued by the man who helped make his career, Daryl McDavid of Winkler and McDavid Limited. Was with Kelly for decades, managing his business affairs. McDavid also knows all the secrets and scandals. Kelly let him go unexpectedly earlier this summer. Will Kelly live to regret his decision, or will he give his ex-manager money to keep peace in the valley? Well, however it goes, I hope it works out for the best, y'all. I really do. Look here, Sheila E. is telling all in a new book, y'all, she got coming out called The Beat of My Drum. In the book, Sheila E. talks about her love life, including affairs with her mentor, Prince, and a very married Carlos Santana. The legendary percussionist, drummer, and singer also covers the ups and downs of her career. The Beat of My Drum is available September 2nd. You know, I may have to buy that book just out of being nosy, huh? The past weekend was not a good box office weekend for Wesley Snipes. Snipes made his return to the big screen in the action flick Expendables 3 with Sylvester Stallone. Snipes is reviving his career after receiving a 3-year prison term for tax evasion. The big budget action flick didn't perform well, pulling in only $16 million. Well, y'all, last night was the Monday night was the Emmy Awards. I can't tell you who won because I don't watch those shows. Now I do watch the Essen Awards, and I watch the Trumpet Awards, the Gospels. I watch those, but the Grammys, the Oscars, and the Emmys, Golden Globe, they don't interest me, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of actors, black, white, Latino, Asian, that are not being recognized for their work. It's only like a very few. So I don't think it's a fair thing. You know, like, hey, can it be more than one winner? I should think so, but it ain't me. As Kermit said, but it ain't my business. Okay. Tracee Ellis Ross is on the cover of Upscale magazine, and speaking of the Ross family, Oprah Winfrey is channeling Diana Ross on the latest issue of her O magazine. And guess who's getting married Saturday? That's right, wedding day for basketball, Dwayne Wade and actress Gabriel Union. It's going to a super private affair with no cell phones or cameras allowed. Uh-oh. Meanwhile, look for Gabriel Union in season 2 of Being Mary Jane. Filming just wrapped for the season, and the show returns to BET at the beginning of the year. Common and supermodel Salida Ebanks are on the cover of Uptown Magazine, and let me tell you, Common looks good. The young lady is beautiful, but Common looks good, okay? Jay-Z and Beyonce are bringing their On the Run tour to HBO. The Carters have been getting rave reviews for their latest tour, along with unrelenting rumors about their marriage on the verge of breakup. Look for the concert on HBO Saturday, September 20th at 9 p.m. And also look for Martin Lawrence. He's back, y'all. Has returned to series TV in the sitcom Partners. The show also stars Kelsey Grammer from Frasier, and it airs Monday nights at 9 p.m. Okay, let's see what else is going on in the news. Well, J.D. Hall and the Ultimate Barry White Tribute Orchestra will be performing at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills Saturday, this Saturday, y'all, August 30th. So all you California people that live in the L.A. area, they're going down and check it out and support the brother. Also, Soul of the U.S. Open, Venus and Serena Williams advanced to the second round. Hey, hey, hey. Congratulations. In fact, let's give these ladies a hand clap, you know. Let it be known. That's right. Got to support the sisters. Okay, what else is going on? Oh, they're back. Full Force returns with a star-studded album. I don't know what the title is, but they're back. Man, they've been gone a long time. I hope it's a good album. They used to be good back in the day. And also our prayers go out still to the Michael Brown family. Their son's funeral was this week, so we still pray and hope for the best for them. Now, Charlamagne, do y'all remember who Charlamagne is? Used to be on Wendy Williams' show when she was a DJ. He said he feels bad for releasing Mayweather's illiteracy audio, and that's all I'm going to have to say about that. Mm-hmm. Now, oh, I got to give another hand clap for the young men in Chicago. That's right, for Chicago's Little League champs, woo-hoo, celebrating in their homecoming. I know everybody's happy about that back there. Yes, sir. All right, and like I said, Mariah and Nick, they are working out their divorce. I mean, trying to get it back together, so that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And that's about all I have for entertainment news, because I'm not going to, I really want to get into my subject matter. So, we'll go to the sports, and, oh, let me bring some callers in right quick before I do my sports. Area code 661, you're on the line with Linus. Who's this?
Hello, hello.
Okay, and area code 319, you're on the line with Linus. Who's this?
Carolyn.
We're being
Carolyn.
Carolyn. Hi, Carolyn. It's CPG. How you doing, girl? Thank you for calling in. Okay, well, let me get to the sports here real quick. Oh, let me, I'm sure on Saturday Dave will probably be talking about this on the show, too, but I'll do a little bit right now. Follow up on Logan Mankins. Logan Mankins was scheduled to arrive in Tampa Bay later Wednesday night. His official Buccaneers introduction isn't expected to take place until Thursday. Tampa Bay hosts Washington in its preseason finale Thursday night, so Mankin's introduction figures to trump any action in the field. Now, get down to the real deal. Sides had discussed contract situation, which is what I said it was about the money on Dave's show. One of the questions that came up after the trade is whether the Patriots and Mankins representatives had discussed a reworked contract before the deal. Mankins was due to earn a base salary of $6.25 million this season, $6.75 million in 2015, and another $6.75 million in 2016. Discussions would have included some type of concession from Mankins similar to what unfolded with defensive lineman Vince Wilfork earlier in the off-season. As others have reported, the issue was indeed discussed privately between Patriots management and Matkin's representatives. This adds context, y'all, to the surprising nature of the trade itself, because this is a hot news item this week, as the contract, more than the assets received in return, appeared to be a primary catalyst for this deal. Now, leadership enforcer type mentality now missing. I think the Patriots, Buccaneers, and most independent observers would agree that while Mankins might no longer have been playing at the elite level, he was still effective. His presence will make an offensive line better. It's more than the play that I think the Patriots will miss most. It's the leadership and enforcer type mentality. Mankins brought a toughness attitude, and you're not going to mess with us type approach to the field that is going to be hard to duplicate. I don't see anyone on the current Patriots line who could fill that void right now. Different dynamic for new offensive line coach to work with. One final thing that probably shouldn't be overlooked is how the Patriots linemen have been adjusting to their new coach, Dave DeLeon, this year. I think that has been more of a challenge for some players than might be perceived. As assistant, Dante was widely regarded as one of the game's best teachers. Now with Matkins out of the mix, it only further adds to what has been a major transition with the team. Well, we'll just see. Tune in to Saturday's show because you know that we will be talking about it. Okay, y'all. Well, let's get the scores going, see what's going on in MLB, Major League Baseball. At the bottom of the eighth, we've got New York Yankees 8, Detroit 2. Bottom of the eighth, we got Cincinnati 7, Chicago 5. Bottom of the eighth, Kansas City 2, Minnesota 1. Top of the eighth, we've got Philadelphia 7, and Washington 4. Top of the seventh also, we've got Chicago White Sox 2 and Cleveland 2. They're tied up. Sorry about that. And the bottom of the sixth, we have Houston 0, Oakland 1. And the end of the fourth, Milwaukee and San Diego 0-0. In the second quarter, L.A. and ARI 0-0. So there goes that. And in the NFL, just to let y'all know what games are coming up, Thursday night at 6 p.m., you got Atlanta and Jackson. Thursday also at 7 p.m., you got Detroit and Buffalo. Also Thursday night at 7 is Indiana and Cincinnati, so you need to check ESPN or either your local stations. Thursday also at 7 p.m. is New York Jaguars and Philadelphia, I believe. Thursday 7 still is the Steelers in Miami. Thursday 7, Kansas City and Green Bay. Man, it's a lot of games Thursday night, ain't it, y'all? Thursday at 7:30 is the Cardinals and Pittsburgh. Thursday 7:30, New England, New York Giants. Thursday 7:30, Washington and Tampa Bay. Thursday at 8 o'clock, Baltimore and New Orleans. Thursday at 8 o'clock, well, they got CHI. That looks like Chicago and Cleveland. Thursday at 8 o'clock, San Francisco and Houston. Thursday at 8 o'clock, Minnesota and Tennessee. Boy, this is a lot of games. They must be back-to-back on the channels or something. And Thursday at 10 p.m., we got ARI. I don't know who that is. I'm sorry. And San Diego, one of the guys I have to tell me. And then Thursday at 10, Seahawks. Yes, that's my team. You know I'm going to holler that out. And Oakland, which we're going to beat them, so there's no doubt in my mind. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Y'all probably think no, but I told my prediction when we won is 3 times in a row we are going to win the Super Bowl. So stick with me. You know my predictions come true. I'm usually right on point, huh? Okay, well, we're going to take a quick little break, about 2 and 2, and come back, and we're going to start this conversation about empowering our youth and who are the leaders today. All right, hang on. 2 and 2, folks. Be right back. Right, and we are back. You're listening to In the Studio.
Yo.
What is going on?
You got me on two lines. That's why.
Oh, I was going to say, why am I reverberating? You guys hear me okay?
Yeah, let me see if I can do something about that for you. Okay, try it now.
Okay, testing. Everybody, Carolyn, you hear me?
Nina?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
But am I reverberating?
You are.
Okay, wait. Dave calling to the show. I'm vibrating. I feel like I ought to be getting set.
Hang on, I'm
going to
put everybody else.
Wait a minute. Okay, Dave.
Okay, I put everybody else on hold for a minute, Lennis, just because I think that's where the problem is. Twice.
Okay. Now, do you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Dave. Oh, my God.
He's on hold.
I lost.
Yep.
Oh. No. That's not Dave. Dave's on a Skype number. But anyway.
Yeah, I know he's on a Skype number. Carolyn's 319.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, well, let's begin our, let me bring him back in now. Carolyn, you're on with me, and 661, you're on. Is that you, Dave?
No.
Is this Tony? Who's 661?
No idea.
Oh, Dave, that's you. Is that you, Dave?
You got me, but no, I'm not on that number.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. He can still hear me, and we can talk, right? You can hear me fine?
Fine.
Okay, all right. Now, let's begin the show, for we all sound, for I sound like I'm mentally challenged. Okay, so what we're we're going to go back a little bit just to recap from Monday's show, and I'll let Nina do that, and then we'll go in and start discussing. Nina, you want to come with that and recap a little bit from the show Monday?
Well, Monday's show, we just talked about how we go about empowering our children, basically, and we started from, from when they're infants, and then we worked up into, probably your teenage years, and how to empower them, and how that it starts all at home with the parents. So no real decision was made on this, a lot of discussion and a lot of really super good ideas. And I welcome any new ideas or even the old ones we were talking about because we got some new people around on. So, yeah, let's just continue that with that. And tell me how you would empower your child.
Yeah, that's
a
good way to start
it off. I think I can start with that because what I'm presently doing in Sarasota, Florida, is I help take some of the youngsters off the street, and there's a lot of them that want to go to broadcast school, and I'm giving them a heads up on the inner workings of broadcasting, freelance photography, and just plain business operations.
Well, that would definitely help them, and I imagine you encourage them with positive feedback as well. Am I right?
Oh, of course. Well, see, I learned old school, first of all. At the age I am, I happened to I guess I'm proud of the fact that I went to jail along with Dr. Martin Luther King and a few other notable black people. And at the age of 16, I learned from them. And the only thing they told me is, listen, the one thing that you can do in your community is pay it forward. And the only way you can pay it forward is set by example, you know. And I think trying to do that.
Yeah, and setting a positive example is probably one of the most important things to teach our youth and to show them how to live by example, always enlightening and always positive.
Right.
But I've got a group of youngsters that's got a real love for radio, and I told them they got to continue their education, first of all. I had a couple that I sent to another tutor to actually teach him how to read, and I was surprised. I'm going, my goodness, how did you get along that far in school, and you can't read, you know? And it hit me as a kind of a shock, you know? Well, how in the world did that? You fell through the crack, and I'm not going to let you do that any longer, you know? To our teachers, you know, you got to take pride in your classrooms. It's time for teachers to step up again, because a lot of us wouldn't be where we are except for our teachers. And I'm telling you, I had one in high school. Her husband was my math professor, but I hadn't even thought about going to college. You know, I'll probably do this, but I'm going to join the military, and this is where it was going to go. But God. I had 2 years under my belt when I went into the service to the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that I want to bring up, Dave, what we talked about, and it was a strong point about babies having babies.
Oh,
you know,
the
peer pressure. Well, I'm going to say some is peer pressure, but it needs to go back to at home as parents to teach kids. Well, it was brought up, too, that you got a lot of dropouts now that are not even finishing high school or even going back getting your GED. So now where are these kids' tools and skills to learn with, even just common sense? So now if you got a young girl that's 16 or 17 having a child, it's a baby raising a baby, too, or either the mother or grandmother is assisting to help. But yet, will that girl go back and finish her education? We hope so, that she completes to get a GED and maybe a year or two of college. So we're going back, one, to parents. Yes, parents have a responsibility and accountability to their children, but also the teachers in their chosen career, too, have to look back. Because especially, I think Tony, I don't know if it was Tony or one of the ladies was on Monday night saying, you know, the kid had missed a lot of school and the parent didn't even know that. Well, too, the parents got to step up, too, and say, you know, well, how are you doing in school and blah, blah, blah. But the kid hadn't been in school, was going, but didn't attend any of the classes, and the parent didn't know it.
And so, there's a lot of that going around, too. But in on the same light, and they got rid of these guys. Back in the day, in my town of Savannah, Georgia, we had what you call truant officers, you know? And
yeah.
If you were out of place and school was in session and you wandered around the street, oh, man, if he caught you, one, you was in trouble with him, two, you was in trouble with the law, and when you got home, oh, you was in, well, y'all know the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were in big trouble then.
Well, yeah.
But that doesn't happen anymore. That doesn't happen anymore.
Well,
what they do now is pick them up, lock them up, give them something that they don't need, like a criminal record, you know, and then it's an uphill battle from there. In black youth, among anything, they pick them up and they give them these records, and then they wonder why they can't get a decent job. You know, it's a no-win situation. But we, as adults, as leaders of the community, we got to do something to kind of bypass that thing. Give them something to do, you know. Open up open up your home or find someplace local or park, anywhere, you know, teach these kids the skills that they need to survive, first of all. And you'll be surprised how much they would take to that. Take case in point, look at all the kids in Chicago, and they have made Chicago pride. All of them was from the inner city. All of them was black, but they gave them something to do, something to strive for, and they brought the city a world championship.
They sure did. They sure did, yes. I even gave a clap for those kids. It was a beautiful thing considering what Chicago's been going through with the death of kids from 3-9 up to, you know, adults. It was good. It was almost like a blessing for this to come in and kind of change that energy for a minute and give people some hope that, you know, if you participate in certain activities, you can get better than where you're at now, you know. And maybe for some kids, baseball was all that they have. But at least it was something than to be out in the streets getting high, doing drugs, or robbing somebody. It was something.
Those kids were not on the street, first and foremost. And they were proud of what they did, and they played like it, you know. And that's the thing. Once you get kids involved in something positive, they're not going to let you down. And in my case, they haven't done it yet, and I don't think they will, you know.
Yeah. Well, I also wanted to bring up about the leaders, because I noticed when the incident with the young man, Michael Brown, my concern was like, where was the NAACP? Where was the Urban League? Where were the ministers? You got churches on every corner. Where were they? Yeah, it was nice. Al Sharpton went back there, and I understand he gave a beautiful eulogy at that young man's funeral. So, you know, he can preach pretty good. I'll give it to him. Jesse Jackson showed up. I don't know what happened behind that. But we don't have any mainstream leaders now, like when we have Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, you know, even Jesse Jackson. I'll give it to him back in the day. Do you agree?
Yes, wholeheartedly. And what the situation is, I don't know what it is, but it seems like nobody wants to step forward and step up, you know. Congress of Racial Equality. They was hot and hippie back in the day, but you hardly ever hear from them anymore. After Dr. King's death, you hear very little about SCLC, you know, and they got to step up. And I mean, I realize that they spread thin. We've only got a handful of leaders that still left that carries that kind of clout. And my God, I tell you, Reverend Al cannot do it by himself. His heart's in it, but listen, he's not getting any younger, and somebody young has to come forward and step up, you know?
Yes.
Now, we realize in the same token that there will never, ever, unfortunately, be another Dr. Martin Luther King. If we had another one of those, oh, salvation. But as life takes it, we don't have that. So it's up to us as individuals to try to step forward and do our part.
Yes, that's true. I was kind of disappointed because I was hoping that maybe Martin Luther King's two sons, one of them would take up the banner and continue the march. But, you know, your children have their lives to live how they want to because they look at what their dad went through. Maybe they didn't want to particularly go that route. Also, Malcolm X, he was another outstanding leader, too. He taught a lot, too, for people, because he wised up when he went to Mecca, so he was no longer prejudiced and more than like, well, there's Muslims all over the world.
And yeah. The ironic thing about that, as long as we had Malcolm X, we didn't have the Muslim nation uprising that we do like now. And it's gotten to the point that, hey, if they blow it up, they're ready. You know, if you want enlightenment, they say they'll get it after they blow whatever up. And that's the mentality that they have, and I'm kind of disappointed.
Well, you know what I miss? But, you know, the Muslims, now I'll give them this. Back in the 70s, they were giving structure to a lot of young black men. that might have went on the wayside, and they joined a Muslim. So I'll give them that. They give them structure, and they give them nurturing. Now, today, I don't see as many Muslims out there, the women and the men, like it was back in the 70s and 80s. So I don't...
Yeah, I miss the bean pies. I'll be honest with you. When they come on the show, yeah, I buy all you got, buddy. Get your animal, you know. And they were good. And they opened up schools. They gave all kids, whether they be Muslim or not, you know, some place to go to eat a meal, like for breakfast before you go to school.
Yes.
You know?
They have programs.
Summertime, they had something else to do. They was not on the street. And that's the main thing. That's the main thing. Chicago, in fact, they had a group there called the Blackstone Rangers. Now, don't get me wrong. It was a gang, you know, and they terrorized the community for a minute, but then all of a sudden they wised up. They started opening up things for their kids, you know, especially inner city youth. They bought them uniforms. They got them started in the baseball, football, sports, what have you. The ladies got something to do, even if they wanted to open up their own floral shop, community gardens. They did all of that. But most of those guys are gone, are either too old to even make a difference. But as long as Chicago had that, the inner city youth had hope. But my God, as far as Chicago is concerned, this goes all the way back to the days of Al Capone. They had a depression. This guy, okay, he had a rival gang that he had his little thing with, but he opened up soup kitchens. The guys didn't have a job. They did it on a rotation basis. You might work this day, but you might not work tomorrow, but you still have some income that you could deal with. And poverty is something that we still got to deal with that caused crime to be on the uprise. And that's something that doesn't take place. And by the police beating up and killing our youth, that's not going to happen. That's not supposed to be that way, you know. Our youth is supposed to go down the street and respect the police. Hey, I can go to this guy because this guy is going to help me not blow my brains out. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of thinking and mentality is gone by the wayside. And the police departments have to step up. They got to screen the people before they're hired. They're going to give them psych tests.
Thank you.
They got to have it. If they don't have that, well, it's going downhill fast. And a lot of them, a lot of people are not going to take that mess. That's why they wind up killing one of them every now and then, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's true. They need to solicit more. I'm sorry. If anybody wants to speak up, go ahead. Carolyn, did you want to say something? Go ahead. Oh, okay. She wanted to speak. But, that is so true. The police across the nation now, because so many departments where the older ranks now have started, baby boomers that were in, you know, police, are all leaving. And the younger ones that are coming in, they're just coming in gung-ho like they're Clint Eastwood. Make my day. You know, and I'm like, didn't you have to go through a screening process mentally as well as physically? You know, that doesn't help. And then, you know, we try to teach our children to be good citizens, to listen to the policeman. If nothing else, if the policeman tells you to, you know, stand still or put your hands up, do that. Don't do anything to credit. I put a thing on my Facebook page on Gail Bocelli with Chris Rock on there about how not to get your ass whooped by the police.
I saw that.
But, yeah. But, you know, it's funny, but in reality, it's true. Just do what the police ask. Don't do no more, no less. At least you'll get to the police station. You can call your parents, your mama, your daddy, your brother, whoever, and you can get home safely and still be alive. You know you want to challenge them and go on, because most police is 3-point shot, which means you're going to die if they shoot you.
Yeah.
So you know, why challenge them? I'm not talking against Michael Brown. Go ahead.
I had an incident a couple of years ago. I happened to be out with my camera filming an accident, and this guy came over and he says, "You can't do that here. Why don't you take that camera and go home?" And his supervisor was a guy that I knew and I worked with in Tampa, Florida. And he said, "Okay, let me try to explain this to you. You see that gentleman standing there with that camera there? Get used to it, because one of these days he could be the one to save your butt by something that you just did. Now, if you run him home, you're going to hear from the local television stations, you're going to hear from the ABC TV, you're going to hear from the NAACP, you're going to hear from virtually every organization that he could think of to call him in, and as long as he got that camera, you're not going to win. You know, now I can't get rid of the guy."
Yeah, just something else. I wanted to read something, if just, and I can go through it real quick if I can find it here. Oh, here it is. I listed updated body count from America's Summer of Police Terror. I'm going to give the race, the name, and the ages. And I just want to give these young people their due, even though they're gone, but they still deserve their due. White, Joseph Jennings, 18 years old, Ottawa, Kansas City, August 24th, and he was mentally ill. Black, Darius Cole Garrett, 21 years old, Chicago, Illinois, August 20th. White, John Winkler, 30 years old, Los Angeles, California, August 19th. Black, Kajami Powell, 25 years old, Ferguson, Missouri, August 19th, mentally ill. White, Diana Showman, 19, San Jose, California, August 14th, mentally ill. White, Dylan Taylor, 20 years old, Salt Lake City, Utah, August 13th. Black, Dante Parker, 36 years old, Victorville, California, August 12th. He was tasered to death. Black, Ezell Ford, 25, Los Angeles, California, August 11th, mentally ill. Black, Michael Brown, 18, Ferguson, Missouri, August 9th. Black, John Crawford, 22 years old, Beaver Creek, Ohio, August 5th. Latino, Omar Abrego, 37, Los Angeles, California, August 2nd. And the last one, black, Eric Gardner, 43, Staten Island, New York City, New York State, July 17th. Prosecution is still underway in that. But that's just a summer of young people that supposedly police-justified shootings or killing. Now, notice I mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4 mentally ill. They just had it on the news the other day about this mentally ill guy, and it just broke my heart. He was asthmatic, and they had him in the jail cell, and he's telling them he can't breathe. Even though, you know, he had mental illness. But he was telling the police officers, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." You know, they stood around and laughed at that man, and he laid there and died right there in that cell.
And I heard about that. They are going to be sued daily. In fact, the guards that were on duty at the time has been released from their duties pending the trial and the hearing, but this time it was done without pay. And that's almost like saying, "Guy, you're gone, you can't come back," you know.
Yes, sir.
But here's my thing. Police mentality has me worried because they're killing off all our youth, man. And I don't see it. It used to be a crime back in the day when you hear somebody young got killed by a cop. You're kidding. You know. But something's changing. Something has to change back in a hurry, because we're losing all our youth, black, white, Latino, whatever. They're going, you know. Something has to be done. Somebody has to step up.
Well, one thing, they don't have respect for authority. I mean, look at when you can see in the news or listen to your parents talking or TV about how the police have done wrong, that doesn't help you as a parent or a grandparent trying to tell your child, you know, to respect the police when they stop you. When they see how the police are doing wrong, they say, well, why should I respect them? Tony brought up a good thing when he said, get tired of kids saying whatever, whatever. No, it's not whenever. It's important because we want to see you tomorrow. So
us is well, I don't like to call myself a leader, but us in the community, we got to do things like open up seminars to teach them how to react when they come across a situation like that. They are lawyers, and even if they go to jail, they're not going to be there long, you know, especially if they're underage. The thing that it has to be done, sure, lock them up, call their parents, deal with them, you know. Don't just pull your gun and shoot them, you know, 6 to 10, my God, how many times you trying to kill this person? I was taught in the military, if this guy is going to be harmless, there's things that I can do to be disabled. Maybe even maim him if I have to, if he's trying to hurt me, but just to take somebody's life, man, in the long run, they got to meet their maker, and they're going to have to answer to that regardless. And that mentality alone should make them change the way they treat people.
It is, but then we got to go back to now how the children are doing, what they see and feel. Because we want the kids and... in fact, a teacher called in and she said, above all, and Tony agreed too, above all, we got to show these kids love. I know sometimes, like I said, young mothers, you know, as their kids maybe get 7 or 8, they get on the nerves, they don't want to be bothered with them, but actually those are crucial times from 1 to 7, you know, to really
right.
be involved and teach and stuff. But when it's a young person that you don't have the tools or skills, because I also look back at sometimes parents from our generation, because I'm a baby boomer, they did the best that they knew how. Some of them didn't have high school education. My parents were 7th and 8th grade. My mother, at the age of 60, went back, and she got her GED at 60 years old. God bless her soul. But, you know, and I mean, and in my family, education was number one. There wasn't no way you were going to get around. You're going to go to school, and you're going to go to college. So shut up and sit down and get ready. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, they're not always fortunate. And then sometimes parents got to accept responsibility. When you are teaching your kids things and they see you doing something different, no, you do what I say, not what you see me do. No, you're the image that's projected in front of that child. If they see you smoking cigarettes, they think they can smoke cigarettes. They see you smoking weed,
right.
Well, they want to smoke weed or have a drink.
But here's
whatever
the thing. Here's the thing. The system itself has taken so much out of the home. They tell these kids, well, your parents can't be like this. They can't do this to you. You can't do this. And if you do this, then they're going to be in trouble. And I told my kids straight up, okay, here's the deal. You're going to call HRS or whoever's in the position at that time on me. When they get here, I'm going for a reason, you know? And they knew exactly what I meant. If I'm going, I'm going to whip you out, you know. And
my
they were
thing,
so
you
mannerful.
Get to the
I'm
phone
proud
first.
Of my kids. Oh, yeah.
You got to get to the
but,
phone, so.
Us as baby boomers, we were brought up just at the right time. We had, I tell you, in my neighborhood, I could screw up if I wanted because whoever caught me doing it at the time, I got a whipping from them. And then I went home and got another one. And when my dad and my granddad came home, oh, Lord, okay, bet you I won't do that again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that type
we
of
had
situation
discipline.
Is gone. Of course.
Yeah.
And that's what's lacking. That's exactly what's lacking. This is the reason why they go through the changes. They go, man, have teenagers with guns. Come on. You know, Carl was
you
looking
know,
up back in the day if he found one.
Up.
No, that is too plentiful. The drugs are too plentiful. The cartel wants those guys out there because they give them all the money in the world and say, here, go deliver this package. And they see that I ain't got to go to school. I ain't got to study this. I ain't got to work hard at it. They're going to give me this, but they never survive it. They either wind up dead or in jail.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, Dave. Some parents need to face up. You know your kid is bad, got some problems.
Yeah.
Stop trying to fake the funk. Oh, no, no. Jane wouldn't do that. Methuselah wouldn't do that. Yes, they do. You, real good point. When your kids leave out that front door, you hope that they are taking your learning that you have taught your kids. You don't know once they walk out that front door. Because in your being, in your service, everything is fine. They're a good kid. They walk out that door, they could be the biggest bully on 2 feet. But you'll say, my kid wouldn't do that. They don't act like that. Really? Really. And you need to check where your child is going, check with the school. And parents need to participate. Go up to the school.
That's it.
I was never hesitant about going up to school. Let me tell you, at Shop School, they knew me by my high heels clicking. Here come Miss Williams. I was coming down that hall. Oh, yeah, baby. So, you know, you have to participate. Not just make sure that they do
my
homework, but participate. Mm-hmm.
My middle daughter got in a jam in high school, and it was funny and ironic how this took place. She was told to come home and get her mom. Her mom was in school at the time herself, and she couldn't be there. And she said, Daddy, homegirl sent me home because I failed my history test. Mind you, I was a history major, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she stayed up so late this particular night, and I said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, but this is the last time I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you this test. And you take it and you turn it in. But the minute you get it home today, I want you in the books. I don't want you next door. I don't want you cleaning the house. Books first, the rest of the stuff later. She came home early again and Sam did a paper that had an F on it. I said, okay, get in the car, let's go. You know.
Yeah.
Now, when the principal tried to stop me and I was walking, I said, yep, no, don't stop me. You come go with me. And you call a sister girl out that class. Come to find out the lady had a thing for my wife at the time. And she hated her. And she knew who my daughter was and decided she was going to fail her too. Needless to say, the homegirl was put on suspension. And I got my daughter moved out of her classroom. And she brought home nothing but A's in history.
Oh, yes. I definitely believe that one of Shab's teachers in high school was an alcoholic. They finally got rid of her the following year, but the kids suffered for that year that she was there. You know the woman drank. What is she doing up here teaching? You know, kids making fun of them. Lord. That's why I said teachers, what you said, they have to step up? Yes, sir. The teachers need to step up, too. Get that compassion back, that caring, that nurturing that you want to see this child succeed. Even if it's a troubled child, maybe have a conversation with the parents and counseling.
Yep.
You know, maybe the family needs to go to counseling, or maybe it could be a poverty thing. Maybe, you know, the parent or single could be a single mom, could be a single dad, because there's a lot of men nowadays, too, that are raising their children. So, you know, maybe they don't have the money to get the Nike tennis shoe or this special coat or something, and, you know, they feel bad. But if they understand their parents are doing the best they can, it's okay. Sometimes kids show out because they don't have things like other kids. But, you know, you got to
understand. I don't know how it is in other parts of the country, but here in the Tampa Bay area, Sarasota, Clearwater, Tampa itself, St. Petersburg, they have a back-to-school program where the community would give everything that they could, be it a book bag, be it a coat, be it a pair of shoes, just like a Christmas drive. Don't let Christmas be the only time you do for your youngsters. You know what I'm saying? And now, the state as a whole, grades have jumped since we started that program. And nobody's feeling down. Oh, it's a couple of rich kids in the class that can afford to do whatever, but they spoiled anyway. But you don't feel bad about sending your kids out to sober because they're dressed properly. You know what I'm saying? You know, mm-hmm. And they look good. Well, and that's just kids' ego too. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, they still
can
now,
be
Seattle,
a mean
we have...
place.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
Well, no. I'm listening. Seattle, we still have the clothing drive every year before school starts. In fact, it'll probably be should have been this month. I don't know. I'm not up on it anymore because my daughter's in college, so I don't care about the high school.
Nah, you're paying the big bucks now.
But and now I'll tell you one thing that I like: the little dollar store. That's really helped parents that are poverty. Because they can go in there and get pencils and papers and notebooks and stuff, where before that stuff would be $2, $3, $4, and they just, hey, I can get you one notebook. You know what I mean? Well, thank God for the dollar store. That's a help for people that are, you know, in poverty.
Our regional VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars, get together every year. If they miss a kid and they drop through the cracks, believe it or not, and I'm proud to say the Tampa Police Department will step up and take them and make sure they got what they need. They will take them and say, do you have this? Or you don't have this? Well, you got it now. You know, and it's all about the kids. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm fortunate enough to last as long as I did, but I'm going to leave an impact. Lord, help me. I'm going to try anyway.
You and me both, brother. You and me both. Me too. I want to leave a legacy to my children and also to the world. To try and, you know, as they say, one voice. One voice sometimes.
Yeah.
When people
absolutely.
Think, well, what can I do? What can I do? You could do a lot.
Something.
You're one voice to carry.
Yep.
That one voice could carry. You never know. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. So, yeah, to get the parents' help so that they're able to do for their children. And also, I think some parents, they need counseling. You know, the younger ones that maybe don't, like I said, have the skills and tools that some kind of counseling or classes for young adults, single young mothers.
And
you know,
the
so
problem
they
with that
blonde.
Is, and the problem is with that is a lot of them are too ashamed to admit, you know, to anybody that I'm not capable of doing this. You know what I'm saying? They have to own up themselves too, though. You know, I tried to help some people and they look at me and say, oh, I know what I'm doing. And go, well, okay, you do? Show me you know what you're doing. You know, change your kids. Your kids up here breaking in cars and stuff. It's up to you to do something about it. After a while, you're not going to have that child. That child is either going to be dead or locked up. You know,
yeah.
Do something about it.
Tony said something on Monday. It almost made me cry. He said, and I know he had got choked up on the air. He said he talked to a little 5-year-old child. Well, what you want to be? What are you looking forward to, you know, as you grow up? Just, you know, chit-chatting. The little kid told Tony, I just want to be able to live to see my teenage years.
Right.
Or live to
and
be sick. That
right.
is so sad. Oh, that broke my heart. That is so sad.
This
you're
child.
Barely in kindergarten, and you're worried about your life?
Yep. Yep. That's scary. That's scary.
Yes,
I don't know how we would have survived doing something like that. Now, in my day, we were worried about getting lynched, but we didn't put ourselves in that situation if we tried not, and it was safety in numbers, you know. But that's scary. In an everyday thing, going to the corner store, you got to worry about whether you're going to make it home alive or not. That's sad.
It is, to be that young
and
make that
statement. In case in point, this little girl in Chicago was only 3 years old. 3, mind you. She don't know nothing. She hadn't even started school yet. In her own home, watching SpongeBob, these two idiots in an open lot across the street from her house, get in a shootout, which they didn't know what they were doing. Neither one of them hit each other, but they hit the little girl across the street and killed her. The night Tony called me, and he told me that on the phone, I had to put on a long playing record and just broke down and cried, because that's just
terrible. Because Because you think about your own children or grandchildren, you know, and you're like, what, a three-year-old? There was a nine-year-old back there, too, that got shot also.
Yep.
That just, it's sad. And now, let's get back to the leaders. Where are all these ministers? Why don't they come together and do a collaborative effort and bring these young people? I know young people, unless you're in a family that you were raised up going to church, like for my kids, they was raised up going to church because I played the piano and the organ for 40 years in the church, so they didn't have a choice. I'm in church, you at church. That's how I go. But the ministers, reach back. Go out in the community. If you walk by faith and not by sight, what are you scared of? Forget your little Chrysler or your Cadillac. Go out there and help these families that need help or having problems with their children, whether it's money or clothes or, you know, education. Why aren't ministers doing this? They're taking your money every Sunday when you go to church. Why aren't you out in the neighborhood? Prove that you walk by faith.
Yeah.
Prove that you're a man of God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where were they with?
As far as that leadership thing is concerned.
Go ahead.
As far as that leadership thing is concerned, I got trouble because I hadn't seen anybody or any organization step up since the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. After that, everything just came to a halt. They figured they did what they had to do. They celebrated Dr. King. They did a big thing about it. It was crowded. They all was on television. They did speeches. And then, nothing.
Now what? Amen, brother. Now what? They all went back to their states, their cities, their communities. What are they doing?
Nothing.
What are they doing? Everybody can complain about the police and these kids coming up, but what are you doing as a preventive measure? You know, I admire Nina, the manager of the Essence of Success Radio Network. She works with the little bitty children, so she starts them from one up, okay, to five.
Oh, yeah.
How to be, how to act, respect, honor, love each other, you know, don't fight, don't be violent. That's beautiful because she's capturing them right at the very beginning. Okay, now she's done her part. And when she releases them kids to go on to first, second grade or whatever, hopefully the parents are continuing on in that same vein.
But sadly, so sadly, so many times, they all got hobbled up by the streets.
Well, Lennis, I still look after the kids once they get into school as well. I usually, if the parents are around and working and stuff, I still work with them until they reach the age of 12. This is all just making me really sad because, and I'm glad I live in Canada because it seems like there's a heck of a lot of violence down in the U.S.
Yes, it is.
But I've got a reporter down in Australia. We call her Lady G. Her name is Jillian Anderson. And anything that happens like that around here, I let her know and find out if in Australia is the same thing taking place. And she calls me on the telephone and says, I'm appalled. What's wrong with these people? I'm going, that's what we're up against, boo. You don't have that kind of carrying on down there. You don't have that kind of carrying on. Certain parts of Europe, maybe, yeah. You know, but my God, it's look like all the games that we try to do, be it black person, white person, Latino, or whatever, all the games that we strive to do from the 60s, you know, and throughout the 60s and 70s, even I was talking to Roger B. Henson a couple of days ago and said, I finally got me another movie. But people don't realize that it's evil taking place in Hollywood. I was in shock. And I hope to get her on the air after she finished this last project and interview her on that because it's taking place all over. Maybe it's backlash. I don't know how else to describe it.
I don't either. It's almost like Tabina was saying, the energy, you know, it's just the people, you know, when there's a tragedy that happens in this country, oh, my God, everybody gets so humble, compassionate, and loving toward each other. Well, that lasts about 24 or 48 hours, and they go right back to the, what the hell? You know what I mean? And it's
yep.
like, but why
right.
does it take that? Why can't we just come
right.
together? I made a statement on Monday that back when Shaw was in junior high, there was I used to live not too far from the 7-Eleven, and I went up to the 7-Eleven one day, and here's kids in there at that time back in, I'd probably say the early 90s. You know, they have the games in 7-Eleven, the machines
sure.
where the kids go in there, you know. And I asked them, what are you doing in here? Why aren't you at school? Get your asses out of here. You need to be at school. You shouldn't even be in here and be in a store till after 3 o'clock. Now, mind you, Dave, in the meantime, the owner of the store, the guy working, he ain't said nothing to these children because all he's looking at those kids putting money in the machines, you know. And I'm thinking you ought to care enough yourself to say no children are allowed here until after 3 o'clock when school is out if you want to come in and play the games, you know.
Yep.
So we as a society.
I had an incident a few years ago. And I happened to be riding through one of the projects in St. Petersburg, and this kid walked out in front of my vehicle, and he saw me coming, and he decided he wanted to take his time. So I got frustrated. I said, what you need to do is get your little butt out the street. And you know what he told me? He said, yeah, we'll gang you up in here. And he couldn't have been no more than 7. I'm going
Well, you know, that's a thing, too. I brought that up, too, because some situations you don't want to walk up into. You know, if there's knifing or gunfire and stuff, no. But if it's just kids around or maybe, you know, group of kids and there's a fight going on, break it up. You guys go home. It ain't even nothing here to see. It ain't even worth it, you know. Go home. But I know some things, yeah, you don't want to walk up in. I wish that we had somebody from the police department or work in the legal system to also talk about how youth repeaters, you know, why they
I'll tell you what I'll do. If you want to continue this conversation into next week, I got a friend of mine that's on local PD. I'm going to call him over and have a couple of beers and we can sit down at the mic and put him on some headsets and we get to the bottom of it. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, and I think he'd be glad to hear the other side of the story.
As long as we keep it to the point that not all police officers are bad, because that's got to be said, too.
Yeah,
you know, and
you know
earlier
what?
It was sounding like, you know, all police officers, you got to be wary of them and everything else.
Not true.
I don't think all of them. I think it's a small percentage that will hurt our youth, and I think it's a very small percentage, and I guess how do we weed them out?
Well, psychologically, you got to do that. You got to start that from the beginning, even before you give a guy a gun and a badge. That has to be to be done before they even go in the training. Right now, they got to train all Florida, well, in the Tampa Bay area anyway, all police officers high to deal with the mentally challenged. All of them got to be in those classes or they no longer have a job. I'm going, oh, wow, this is a little bit late for that, but thank you for doing it anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Well, better late than never is what they say, isn't it? And I guess any education that you can get to help people is a step forward. I guess we need to start taking more than one step, though. I think there's several have to be taken forward. And I think it all starts with us, changing what we can change in our lives and in the lives of the people around us, and especially in our youth. If we take those steps forward and teach the youth to respect, to love, self-love, especially self-love, that's got to come first. And then we teach them all the rest of these good, positive things and teach them that they matter. Maybe if we start, each one of us start, and just make our little corner of the world a better place for our youth, maybe that will have an impact.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But now, being that you're in Canada, let me bring up a little something, a little levity anyway. Forward, you know, male forward.
Yeah.
Hello.
Don't talk to me about him. I'm not from the West. From the East. I'm from the West. I don't want to hear about Ford. Ford is a total disgrace.
I thought I would get that answer. Okay, you off the hook.
Yeah, no, he's a total disgrace, that one. I was actually thinking maybe we should ship him down to Florida.
he got thrown out of Clearwater. He got thrown out of rehab. It's a funny little story about that. The governor of Florida, Rick Scott, is calling to rehab as a dignitary and said, here you go. And Ford made the statement and said, maybe you ought to come with me. And everything went downhill from there. And a few days later, they threw him out. He was on his way back to Canada. Never heard from him again, not in the state of Florida.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was going to take more than probably 10 or 15 rehabs to correct that man.
Are you talking about Justin Bieber or the mayor?
Oh, we're talking about the mayor of Toronto.
Justin Bieber just needs a good old-fashioned spanking from his mama, I think.
Yeah, he did get a little high on the hog. You know, he decided while he was in the United States, he was going to get his brand new sports car and run through the neighborhood. And one of the NFL guys jacked him up. And, he wanted to sue him about that. But that kid was kids president. He didn't even care about the speed bumps. 60 miles an hour through a residential neighborhood? Come on now.
No kidding. Oh, well. Okay, that's enough about the two bad Canadians.
Don't feel rained on, honey. It's everywhere.
Yes, it is.
Canada, United States, Mexico. We better watch out for China. That's what's scaring me right now. But anyway, that's a whole nother show.
They're scaring themselves.
China.
Yeah, they're actually scaring themselves. I'm going to be honest with you. They're coming up going or not. You know, and pull Japan holler about, and we stuck over here with these fools. Okay.
China's scary. Well,
even to their own people, it's scary. You know, and that's a sad. Somebody really got to step up. I mean, even worldwide, because the human rights situation is going downhill rapidly, and everybody don't see, but it's gone. And that's the major reason. Property is more of a thing that starts wars than anything else. People can't afford to feed their families. They're going to go out and do what they need to do. They see somebody else in another government that's got more than me. They're going to have resentment to these people. Why they got to be so damn happy? Let me see whether we can do something about that. And that's what happens. You know?
Yeah.
Well, the human rights is correct, because we're all part of this earth as being human beings, or as what did Holly say, we're spiritual beings experiencing human. Yeah. Is that what she said?
Yeah, it was spiritual beings exhibiting human qualities.
Yeah.
But the world is going, excuse the expression, but the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, because it's not just here in the United States.
No. You look at Africa. Look at Ukraine. Look at Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran. You know, there's only
the whole
few
world is
countries,
becoming
a
powder keg, and it's out of resentment of poverty. Poverty is the most leading reason that a war starts. Every time that a war starts, think about it. It's been about monetary. It's been about who can own more of what, who can control more of what, you know. Hitler wasn't as crazy as a lot of people thought he was, but he was trying to do something for his country. He went about it the wrong way, and it got him killed. Well, he killed himself. He didn't wait around for somebody else to do it. But every war that has ever started in existence has been about money. Think about it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a very sad commentary because we got young people out here that need jobs. They used to back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. They had summer work. When the kids got out of school, they had, you know, they had their little jobs, so they had something to do. Plus, they had pride, had their little money to spend or what have you. The jobs are not there anymore like they used to be. They're hiring the college students instead of the high school students now. You know, and that's a breaking point. So you're still in poverty, but that's a breaking point, too, for some of our youth who do want to do better. Or maybe they might want to just help out their mom or help out the household, you know, or be able to buy their own school clothes or school supplies. Mama don't have to worry about it this year, what have you. But they don't, the jobs are not out there, and I have a problem about that because when the kids are working, that gives them hope. Even if they live in a poverty situation, at least there's hope. When you take hope away, now they don't even work. All they do is run up and down the street. Now what? What do you tell this kid? I'm out of school, you know, for the summer. Well, what are you doing? Nothing. Hang around the house. Well, you applied for a job. Yeah, they're not hiring. Nobody's hiring.
My grandfather told me something in 1971, just before I started working for James Brown. He said, I want you to take this, and I want you to listen to me, and I want you to think about it. No matter what you do, always remember that poverty breeds crime. And it took me some years to figure out what he was talking about, but now it's even more prevalent than it ever was.
Yeah. I mean, think how from 2008 up, how a lot of people feel they have lost their homes. You know, that had to be hard for a lot of parents and to pull their kids out living in shelters or living in their car because they don't even have the money to even rent an apartment. That tore up a lot of families. You know, again, money. Greedy people putting people in situations that they weren't really capable or able to sustain. You know, it affects the whole family.
Florida got hit worse than any other state in the union, and you know what? The crime rate shot up to reflect just that. Crime rates in Florida after the big housing market crash jumped up a whopping 55%.
See? So now we have to figure out what kind of tools can we give these kids to do on their off time so they don't get in trouble.
Got to have something to work with, boo. But you have to get together. You can't do it alone. You got to get together and get a group of people. A group can do more than one person did. Not only the safety of the numbers, but everybody can do something different to help, you know. And I know we're just preaching to whoever listened to us at the time, but I'm hoping this conversation makes an impact with somebody. Step up, y'all. I'll help you. You want to come on the air? You want me to advertise for you for any function that's going to help a child? Come to me. I'll get the word out there. I'll even put you on the air. That's to everybody. I don't care who it is. Call in. My number is 813-358-4045. Give me a call on my radio show. I will put you on the air. Free of charge.
That directly from Dave the Rave for Radio Blade Express. That's right. Well, we're coming to the close, and oh gosh, this is really good. Well, let's point out some good things now. We know that parents, check on your children, see what they're doing in school. make sure that you've got a pretty good idea when they leave the home that they are still behaving and not out there getting in trouble and they're not adhering to peer pressure, but they're their own minds. They are their own leader, not as followers. Checking the school. Also, maybe in the community, see what your ministers are doing. See what they like to do something. Maybe have a youth rally one Saturday at the church and just talk about some of the problems, you know, that the kids feel that they need to deal with. That would be good. Let me see, what else? Come on. I know all y'all out there. Come on with it, David, Nina, Carolyn.
Well,
I
believe mine is open forum, excuse me. Anytime you got something that's going to be done for the youth of this or any other community, you got my number, talk to me and say, this is what I want to do. I will put you on the air personally. If it's going to help the youth of America, our youth, hey, I'm all for it. And you got my backing and support financially and right here behind this mic.
All right. Thank you, David, for that. We're going to count on you for
well,
that. You need to help you one day.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I know this is a conversation that's going to be ongoing because school will be – I know some schools have already went back, I think, in the South and maybe in the Midwest.
It started last week.
And so, yeah, so it's good, you know, like maybe by the end of September, you know, check back and see what's going on with you. How's it going?
And we'll see. We'll do another program just on that topic.
Yes, sir. Well, I want to thank everybody for being on the show today. Dave, Carolyn Pendleton Gardner, Nina.
Thank you for having me.
And the people. Huh?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course, of course. Anytime. You're always welcome. And all the folks in the chat room, and thank you, Miss Nina, because she moderates it for me. So, and the people in the chat room, I hope and I pray that everybody listening in the audience as well, it's on the show and in the chat room, that you take from this some type of empowerment that when you see a youth, you will pass that on and try to help them. You know, just reach out. Like the song say, reach out and touch somebody because you never know. That might be the one youth that you just saved from going to jail or dying, you know. So, and don't forget about Dave's show, Open. He's open to help, so if somebody has a counselor or a police officer or whatever, you know, or teacher, you know, you want to come in and talk, then, you know, let Dave know, let me know. And Nina is also on another network that will be starting in October, so I'm sure she'll be checking in too. Might be something, you know, they can use on their network as well. But above all, children are our future. Because Lord knows I don't want to get 80 years old and have to pack a gun where I go. You know what I mean?
Amen to that.
Hopefully by that time I the world will be a little bit better place and hopefully a little bit more peaceful or getting to peace. So, but anyway, well, I'm going to close it out. Tomorrow, Thursday, is my off day. I'll be back Friday with Friday Traffic Jam. And this Friday I'm doing a special. Sam Smith, he's the British sensational that everybody's talking about on everybody's tips. So I'm going to devote the hour to Sam Smith and his music. Also on Thursday night, tune in to Spreaker.com. Dave, you want to tell us real quick?
Oh, yeah. Well, we normally the triple threat in full effect. And we start at 6, and I'm followed by Brenda White, which I'm following her will be DJ Tony Sanchez. And we lay the tracks down that you love to hear.
Okay. And then on Friday, Dave is back again Friday night, early and late. Right? Is that correct?
No, it won't be late. No. We changed that schedule slightly.
Yeah.
Right.
We're
moving the Friday night late night show to Saturday at midnight. We're just moving it 24 hours later. And the sports show will be on at 11 o'clock Eastern. which puts you at 8 o'clock your time.
Okay.
For the sports show. Join us.
Oh, yeah, the sports show, Saturday, for sure. Y'all, it's me with three other men. You know I'm going to hold it on for us. I'm a woman that loves sports. In fact, I'm a NFL and an NBA widower, okay? So you know I'm there with the guys. So thank you, everybody, for enjoying, and have a good week. Don't forget to tune in Thursday, speaker.com, the Dave Rave Show, and also on Friday. On Friday, I will be on, too, at 5 o'clock on Friday Traffic Jams. Whew, got tongue-tied. Okay? So y'all have a good one this evening. Thank you, everybody, for your input. God bless, because it's going to get better. I believe in that. I walk by faith and not by sight that things will get better. They will not remain the same. So good night, everyone.
Good night, Dave.
Good night, Nina. Good night, Carolyn.